Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. People are commenting on a stat line tonight in the WNBA. Angel Reese, did you see the night that she had tonight for the Chicago Sky in a loss to the New York Liberty? They lost 99-74. She had 12 rebounds. Pretty good. She had 2 points. The sequence of plays happened in the first quarter. Let me just describe what happened here. Camelia Cardoso missed a layup. Angel Reese, offensive rebound. That's one. Then she missed the layup, but got the rebound. She missed the layup again, got the rebound. Then Jonquel Jones blocked her, and she got the rebound. Then she got blocked again, and then she got the rebound. So she had 5 rebounds and was 0 for 3 in 16 seconds of play. I'd look at that. Look at me. Look at me. You only talk about WNBA when it's bad, Bart. You're not out there talking about the Indiana Fever's 81-76 win over the Atlanta Dream. You're only talking about the WNBA when it benefits your narrative, Bart. When it benefits what you're trying to do, man. I talk about the WNBA. I probably talk about the WNBA, I think, a little more than the average Joe here. I'm into it. I'm intrigued. I keep an eye. I look out for it, and I'm not even betting on it. I legitimately am interested and curious to see who's doing well and who's playing hard. Caitlin Clark tonight, she was 0 for 5 from 3, just 4 of 11 shooting. She had 11 points. I keep an eye out. I'm looking. I got no narrative. I don't need to see a hard take foul and then blast any of my friends' wives. I'm okay. I'm a level-headed adult. WNBA finals aren't until the fall, in which I will rip on them constantly because they schedule a bunch of their games during NFL football. Don't do that. Major League Soccer is the same issue. Hello? We're watching football. Don't schedule your game when we're watching the football. NBA Finals, much, much sooner. They are the topic of tonight's Bartometer.
There are debates. There are hot takes. There are strong opinions. But in the quest for the truth, there is only one way to get the final say. It's time to fire up the Bartometer.
Now, I am not joking. I may need to kill the Bartometer. We'll still come up with like a list segment, but the whole artificial intelligence, although I do like the Bartificial intelligence, that's a nice play on words. AI's creeping me out, man. This VO3 thing that Google made. I'll tell you, I tried it. I tried it today, and I tried to make some clips to show the dangers of it, of course. And I can't figure out to get audio with it. I don't know. But I just saw a bunch. I saw a bunch of people made AI prompts now where the prompts don't believe that they're prompts. And that seems scary because we already could be in a simulation, so that's a little close to home. Not sure on that one. Still doing research. And you can do AI of, like, news anchors.
Are you serious?
And the one that they showed is just some woman anchor saying J.K. Rowling's boat was capsized by orcas. Okay, that's harmless, and you know that that's nothing. But who's to say you can't make an AI say, this country's invading this country. You have 5 minutes. You can't tell. And even if you can tell, remember that the average person is at least half of the average people are at least dumber than you. So just remember that. Very scary. So I'll have to talk about that to the powers that be. I am very afraid of where we're heading here. Anyway, a segment on artificial intelligence. It is the Bartometer. The Bartometer tonight is ranking the individuals that would benefit the most from winning the NBA Finals this season. So who remaining of the coaches, players, front office executives, who remaining might benefit the most in terms of public opinion, the court of the NBA, where they rank all time, who would benefit the most? At number 8, there is a good argument against putting this person on this list, because even if they won the finals, I think the fan base would still overall hate him. But James Dolan, New York Knicks owner, is number 8 on this list. He has meddled for a long time. He has been quick with the reactionary firings and hirings. But he hired a guy in Leon Rose as the team president, the architect of this turnaround, and has gotten out of the way. So Leon Rose did not make the top 8, and he would get more credit than Dolan, but Dolan is simply getting credit for getting out of the way. When you have a bad owner, there's no way out except to hope that the bad owner stops being bad, and James Dolan did that. New York fans should make pilgrimages to the Sphere in Las Vegas, as that has dominated his attention, and this just become a thing he owns. So Knicks fans would probably still have negative opinions about James Dolan, but it would soften the blow. He comes in at number 8. At number 7, a guy who's thought of as a good coach, but maybe not a coach that gets the credit he deserves, is Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle comes in at number 7 on this list. Rick Carlisle has won a championship with the Dallas Mavericks, back with Dirk, but he could win his second championship with a second team. Pat Riley's done that. Alex Hannum did it back in the 50s and 60s. Obviously, Phil Jackson did it. But it's a very rare feat. You know, it's a very rare feat to have a coach win different titles. Where does he get vaulted into any all-time conversation if he wins a second championship? And with this team, we had an Indiana caller very passionate last night talk about how all these other teams might have the superstars. They've got the best team. Well, if that's the case, you got to give a lot of credit to the coaching. And Rick Carlisle deserves a lot of credit. He comes in at number 7 on the list of whose legacy would improve the most or benefit the most from winning a title this year. Number 6. Number 6 is Rudy Gobert. Almost for the same logic as James Dolan. People will still clown on Rudy Gobert. It's just what we do. But it would quiet the critics quite a bit if Rudy Gobert was able to win a championship. He did what to the microphone? They traded how many picks for him? His playoff performance was how bad compared to how he is in the regular season? And Gobert, like, tonight, they have 97 points. There's 2.5 minutes to go. They're down 12. He's got 5 points, 9 rebounds. They need a little more from him. He had 2 points in game one of that series. Game five against the Lakers, that clincher. Remember, he had 27 points and 24 boards. Where the hell did that come from? But Rudy Gobert, who a lot of people make fun of, harder to make fun of when you have a NBA Finals ring. At number five, we've got 4 teams remaining in the NBA playoffs. So let's look at the star players of those 4 teams. At number five would be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He won the MVP, so that elevates him a little bit in the eyes of the league. I don't think that he's at the point where he needs to win a title. He's still so young to validate, like, what sort of ascension he's on. There is the thing I talk about a lot where if you win MVPs, you better at some point win a championship. SGA at the age of 26. But we think the Thunder are going to be around a while. This guy's about to get a Supermax. Final year of that deal, $78 million would come his way. That's nearly $1 million per game. So he's a great player. He's the MVP. We know that. We know how lopsided the trade was because of him. But he comes in at number five. He's lower than at number four. Anthony Edwards takes up number four. Just because with the face of the league conversations, and maybe it's because Gilgeous-Alexander is Canadian and Anthony Edwards is American, and you look at the MVPs as of late, Jokic, SGA, Giannis, Embiid. We've got guys from overseas, or at least not the United States, winning the MVP in the American Professional League. Anthony Edwards can be the American to take it back. He's only 23, so he's young, but he seems to be giving or getting the same sort of entry ramp that Jason Tatum had. Like, we want you to be the face of the league. All you have to do is win a championship and you'll be the face of the league. Well, you have to win the finals MVP. Tatum fell short in that regard. Tatum, it still doesn't feel like, you know, when LeBron and Steph or KD are done, it doesn't feel like, okay, now it's Tatum's time. Tatum's certainly a player in the story, but it feels more like one of these guys that are left in the playoffs are going to take that mantle, or this group of guys. Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, and then at number three, Jalen Brunson. Guys that would benefit the most from a title, Jalen Brunson in at number three. He's in New York. He's already clutch. There's a lot of good things going his way. There's been a lot of great Knicks over the years with Ewing and Frazier and Reed and any of these guys. And there was a segment where he was called a couple of weeks ago the greatest Knick of all time. You win a championship in 2025 here after that drought, you know what? Maybe you are. And if you're the greatest player in the greatest city in the world, as it were, that's going to go pretty well for your legacy and your standing in the league. Jalen Brunson at number three. Number two, and this I think is razor thin between number two and number one. We got one player left, and we have a coach. And at number two, I just saw what the Bartometer gave me, and I almost want to change it. But at number two, Tyrese Haliburton is going to be on the list. He is the cornerstone of this team. traded 3 years ago for Domantas Sabonis and other players involved. He was viewed as the most overrated player in the league. You win an NBA championship, that's done. Doesn't matter what guys like me say about you. Doesn't matter what your peers say about you. You become a generational talent, possibly surpass Reggie Miller's standing in the organization. I would think you'd have to. And almost become the guy. And you settle into the villain role. Remember when LeBron went to Miami and he kind of did the villain role? And that was good. We like that. Well, Tyrese Halliburton can do the same. But at number one, I think the person that would benefit the most from a title by way of the Bartometer is Tom Thibodeau, head coach of the New York Knicks. This is a guy who in his career has never made an NBA Finals. He coached in Chicago for 5 years. He coached in Minnesota for three. He's been in New York. And we're almost up on Thibodeau time. Because he's a guy that comes in there bad out of hell, will help turn your organization around. Got Chicago to the conference finals, or semifinals. Got them winning more. Now, he took over the year they had Derrick Rose, right? The MVP year. Never could get back to the conference finals. Minnesota was there for a few years. Ended up getting fired. Jimmy Butler nonsense. New York, he's improving nearly with every season. We're in the conference finals now. And I don't think it will happen, but you can make the case, like, let's say the Knicks get swept. Do they look for a new coach? It's very possible. Thibodeau, he's kind of like Jimmy Butler in that way, where you're somewhere for a few years and it's really good, but there's an expiration date on how long you can last in a certain place. And if he were to get fired, he'll pop up somewhere else immediately. But if he wins the championship here, this validates everything that we've always thought about him. Oh, he plays his guys too long. It's too much on the defense. He's running these guys into the ground. What it could give him a championship. So I totally get the argument for Tyrese Halliburton. Coming off my lips to your ears, I feel like the Bartometer may have erred there. But Tom Thibodeau is the Bartometer's number one guy who would benefit the most from a championship. Another factor of that is time. If the Pacers don't win this year, they'll bring back the same crew and they'll have chances. Time could run out for Tom Thibodeau. Who benefits the most from a title? Number eight, James Dolan. Number seven, Rick Carlisle. Number six, Rudy Gobert. Five, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Four, Anthony Edwards. Three, Jalen Brunson. Two, Tyrese Halliburton. One, Tom Thibodeau. Your thoughts on that? Reaction to the Thunder winning now officially game two. As well. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Shut it down, Bartometer! Still running on that 95. See, I'm all afraid of AI, but that's why my machine's running on that Windows 95. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. That is the number. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The Bartometer has spoken. Which person left in the NBA has the most to gain from winning a championship? At number eight, James Dolan. At number seven, Pacers coach Rick Carlisle. Number six was Rudy Gobert. Then we got every superstar on every team. We got the Thunder's MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at number five. Anthony Edwards at four. Jalen Brunson, three. And Halliburton at two. And Tom Thibodeau at one. Carlos, would you like to chime in on the rankings? I think there's a pretty strong case for Halliburton to be one, the Bartometer going with Tom Thibodeau.
No, I'm good with Tom Thibodeau being number one because, like the Bartometer has said, he's been chased out of town for running guys, you know, knees to the bone. You know, he's short rotation, doesn't play his bench, wears his guys out. Like, he will make your program better, but there's a ceiling. So if he were to win an NBA championship, obviously he breaks that glass ceiling. So I agree with the Bartometer putting Thibodeau at number one. I don't agree with Halliburton at two, though. Honestly, I think the list would be close to perfect. All you got to do is flip Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton. Anthony Edwards, there was a lot of talk that this guy was going to be the next face of the league. Now, SGA...
Well, he still could be. He's only 23.
Not if SGA goes ahead and beats him in four or five. Like, that's going to be the face of the league. If the SGA and the Thunder are able to knock off the Wolves. Like, ever since Anthony Edwards was in that Adam Sandler movie, people have been talking about this guy's got the charisma, this guy's got the attitude, and he's got the game in order to be the next person of the in the NBA, especially since he's American-born. I mean, like, no disrespect to foreign players, but like, I think people are hesitant to put a foreign player as the face of the NBA right now. I think give it about another 5 years or so. Like, wait till we see what Luka's trajectory with the Lakers are going to be. Maybe that'll be the guy, but people have been waiting for Anthony Edwards for a while. If SGA gets in his way, I think we pause that conversation a little bit. But if he wins the NBA championship, shoot him right to the moon. Like, that's the guy.
Yeah, I think he's got a little more time. He is 23. I think it's interesting because all of these guys, like, they're all relatively young. How old's Jalen Brunson? He's not that old. He is 20. Well, he's 28, but he feels like he just kind of got that. I think this little four pack of guys, the star guard on all their teams, Anthony Edwards, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton. It's a pretty that if that's your four, if that's your four of the future, you could do worse with that. And then there's other guys that aren't obviously in at this level that are younger. Victor Wembanyama comes to mind, you know, Luka being in LA. So there's other guys that certainly are going to carry the mantle for the next generation and the next. Well, I just said what I wanted to say, and then I was trying to think of a word for generation. I screwed that up. Edit that in post. Halliburton. So Tyrese Halliburton. I wish I was a Pacers fan. I wish I did not like the team. I'm very sorry to continue to say that I do not like the Pacers. I don't like them. At first, was it about the Milwaukee Bucks? Of course. They knocked them out 2 years in a row. Then did it become about my brain's inability to understand how this is happening? I think so. There's a level of clutchness to this guy that we have not seen ever. So since 2002 and 2003, I've got a stat, effective field goal percentage. It's field goal percentage weighed for the extra value of a three-pointer. So keep that in mind. 100% means you're making 100% of your twos. If it's higher than that, you get some points. The most clutch guys, the guys with the clutchest effective field goal percent since 2002 and 2003. Number five is Jalen Brunson at 50%. Number four is Jamal Murray at 51%. These are clutch shots and their effective field goal percentage making them. So basically it's field goal percentage and then some added for a three. Steve Nash comes in at number three, 52.9%. Al Horford's at two at 53.7%. Tyrese Halliburton, 56.4%. He is essentially the most clutch player we have seen in 25 years. Those stats going back to 2002 and 2003. This year alone, in these playoffs, and the regular season. Tyrese Halliburton has had the basketball in his hands and has taken a shot in the final 2 minutes or overtime to either tie or take the lead. So do we get the setting here? This is a shot in the final 2 minutes. It's not any random shot in the final 2 minutes. It's not a shot to cut the game to one. It's not a shot to, you know, extend the lead to six. It's a shot that he takes where if he makes it, the Pacers are either tied on this one shot or they take the lead. Okay? 14 times he has had that opportunity. He has made 12 of those shots. He made 12 of those shots. We go back to October. He did it against Philly with 3 seconds to go to tie the game. We go back to October. He did it against Orlando. He tied the game on a three against Utah Jazz. Actually took the lead in that game. There's a two. There's a bunch of threes. In the playoffs, he did it twice against Milwaukee. He did it once against the Cavs. And last night, he already did it. Well, he took those shots three times, and he made two. He made a two-point layup in overtime, and he made that shot that he did the choke thing on at the end of the fourth quarter. So there have been 14 times where under 2 minutes or in overtime, Tyrese Halliburton puts up a shot. If it goes in, the Pacers either get a tie or get the lead. The two misses, there was a miss against Boston, October 30th, a three-point at the buzzer. Pacers still won in overtime. And then there was a three-pointer last night in overtime. That's it. Otherwise, he's made 86% of the shots. And the average shot distance on those shots was 18.5 feet. Do you know what that means? He's not just making layups. He's not. So the shots he made, a three-pointer from 24 feet, a three-pointer from 28 feet, a three-pointer from 26 feet, a two-point jump shot from 17, three-pointer 22, two-point from 11 feet, three-point jump shot 25. He had a layup at one point. He had a dunk. Those two were against Milwaukee, so that lowered the average. Made a three from 25, made a layup from seven, made a jump shot from 23 the other night. So remember when I told you about effective field goal percentage? Okay? On those shots, he's shooting 107.1% because twos, because it counts where every shot is a two. So if you get a three, it's higher. He's shooting better than 100% with that stat. Because some of these, it's weighted for threes. It is unbelievable what he is doing. And it's so crazy to continue to watch this because it's been improbable the entire time. And every time you see it, you say, it can't continue. But then it does. And so who's to think it's not going to further continue? At some point, we have to, like, expect the unexpected. It is nuts, man. It is quite something. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Get your reaction to the Bardo meter, the face of the league conversation, where Gilgeous Alexander fits in that. Also, the Thunder are up 2-0. We do have a final there. We'll get into that a little bit as well. Right now, let's get an update. Once again, it's Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. That was the final call. Thunder Radio Network as the Oklahoma City Thunder. Boy, we're really getting the Imagine Dragons. We're getting them their love here. Good on them. 118-103. The Timberwolves, they kind of close. They had a better fourth quarter than any other quarter, but by that time, they were down 4 after 1, 8 after 2. It was a 14-point difference in the fourth quarter, so they came into that quarter down 22 points and just had to kind of play out the string. 17-point lead, we found out, maybe not safe in the playoffs, or at least the conference finals, because the Knicks themselves came back from some 20-point deficits. I saw one Knicks fan say, is this what we did to the Celtics? This is terrible. I kind of feel bad for what we did now to the Celtics. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he won the MVP. He had 38 points tonight. Chet Holmgren with 22. Jalen Williams with 26. Nobody else in double figures, but really was not needed. 32 for Anthony Edwards, 22 for Jaden McDaniels. Julius Randle, 2 of 11. So hot start in game one before he cooled off. Still cold here in game two. They got a little more from their bench. But another struggle night for Naz Reid, man. They need Naz Reid to get going. At home, they'll get Naz Reid time. That's become a colloquialism in Minnesota, I've learned, is people will go down the street and say, Naz Reid, Naz Reid. It's just a greeting. Naz Reid, Naz Reid. But tonight, he only had 10 points, 3 of 8 shooting, 0 for 5 from 3. We'll hear more from coaches and players on this one. Coming up on the Bart Winkler Show. We also did not get to it last night. I know you're on the edge of your seats for us to crap on the Rockies. Our worst in five power rankings coming up next hour. Right now, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Bartometer, when it comes to who needs a championship more, the top five were Shai at 5, Edwards at 4, Brunson at 3, Halliburton 2, Tom Thibodeau snuck in there and took it all from everybody, which has got us talking a little bit about those guys and face of the league. Ryan is in Toronto. What's up, Ryan?
How we doing, fellas?
How we doing? I'm good. How are you?
Living my best life, man. I kind of just wanted to touch on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and more specifically like the foreign players thing and why they couldn't be a face of the league. I totally think a foreign player could be the face of the league, especially a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not only because of the success of the Oklahoma City Thunder, but just because of how electric he is as a basketball player. He says all the right things in the media. He's never trouble outside of the game of basketball. He's just truly a beautiful basketball player. And what's going on in Oklahoma City right now is wonderful for the league. I don't know how viewership's down in the NBA. I've never seen such a talent-filled association in my life. This is a gift to watch, man. And it's very exciting to see what OKC is doing. They give me like very much so like sort of a Spursy kind of vibe. Young team,
yeah.
Legends in the making. They're going to win probably 2 or 3. Like, I think they're going to sweep Minnesota, to be honest with you. Like, I don't see how Minnesota stacks up against that team from a matchup standpoint whatsoever at all. Like, even if you get a Naz Reid to take off, like, I don't even know if that's enough to get them over the hump. And it's going to be tough for them to feed Ant because, like, the way they're doubling him, it's sort of like a half double. So he's got to figure it out, man. If it's just a half double, you got to be that guy. You got to elevate to that next level. And maybe he doesn't have that level yet. Hopefully he has it in the future because I do like Ant as well. He's very electric. But yeah, you gotta give it to the foreign players, man. Like a Doncic, a Jokic is literally something no one with our two eyes have ever seen in the game of basketball. He's so dominant, so electric. Another guy that has no issues outside of the game of basketball. These are the type of people you want to represent the brand. Just absolute juggernauts of the game. The game could not be in a better place. I'm curious what you're thinking about it. And yeah, get in on the Knicks Pacers stuff too. I sat on that hold yesterday for an hour just wanting to stream. I was like, but let's talk first. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, so you got something more to say or you're leaving me?
I'll say one more thing. So the Knicks can do it. It seemed like yesterday everyone hit the panic button so hard. The reason they give it up to the Pacers is because the reason why the Pacers are doing what they're doing to begin with, their transition is the most lethal offense in the game. If they play a modicum of defense, just a touch of it, they're going to dominate you. So, like, with what the caller's point was even yesterday, as he was saying, like, the Knicks have to play with pace and they kind of have to get, like, their butts in transition as well. I don't see that as a case at all. If the Knicks want to win this basketball game, they got to force it to be a half-court basketball game. Matchups-wise, that stacks up way better for them. Pacers can't really play defense in the half-court. If the Knicks can really slow get down the game to a point like that, I think they can take it away from the Pacers. If they want to try to play with a bit of pace, they'll get run right out the gym. Right out the gym. That team is incredible.
And the way, Ryan, good call. Thanks for the call. The way that it looked in overtime, the Pacers were playing a lot of defense, so much where it looked like the Knicks did not know what they were doing, or that they were even, like, this was their first time, and now you need to coach me how to do this. It was startling to see what happened. To go back to the Pacers, they won't let you come back on them because they always hit their shots. Make or miss league. But what they did last night, those eight possessions where they either got to the free throw line or made buckets, six of the other eight times they didn't get to the line, eight straight possessions that they were able to utilize. It was, this is what they do. Like I said, I wish I had a rooting interest in them. I wish I could be enjoying this or just not. But it's certainly from a basketball watching experience, you know, if you strip emotions out of it, and I look back on someday, I'll say, man, I didn't like it that much, but that Pacers run was something to see. So the Knicks got to rebound, and I think the Knicks can rebound, but they have to win tomorrow. They have to win because we haven't even gone to Indiana yet. And Indiana, you know, home gym is where some of those other guys step up. And you're thinking, well, geez, if Nesmith stepped up the way that he did, my goodness. I think what this series is going to do is, you know, when the Usos first got to the WWE and you didn't know who was Jimmy and who was Jay, this is going to help us separate which one's Andrew Nembhard and which one's Aaron Nesmith, with all due to both sets of duos, even though one set is a twin and the other are just two guys that have similar initials that play for the same team. Oh, man. Do you know how much I got to listen to this song in the car? Yeah. Jey Uso. World champion right now. So this song in the car gets heavy play from my kid.
Is it you doing the yeet?
He does the yeet. He's in that back seat. I look in the rear view. He's yeeting all over the place, man. He is into it. It's great. At his after school care the other day, they were doing Walk the Dinosaur. So now he wants to hear that one. Today he goes, Daddy, play the spin song. And I go, What spin song?
Spin song.
Yeah, he goes, the spin movie. And I'm like, what spin, like Spidey and his amazing friends? And he's like, no. The song that goes like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, Big Spin. And I go, oh, okay. It's a Post Malone song from Into the Spider-Verse. You know that one? This?
Oh, I do know that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that one. So we were listening to that today. And then, of course, Steve's Lava Chicken or whatever from Minecraft that's very popular. I had a lot more to say coming out of that call. And then for the first time since I've started this show, I instead talked about my kid. First time. More to come on the NBA. We'll take your calls. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. More on the Thunder beating the Timberwolves. It does seem like there's a bit of separation between the competitiveness of these two series. Unless Indiana gets game two tomorrow night, we will see. We'll be back with that when we return on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.